Parshas Tetzaveh, famous Rashi's. So Tetzaveh talks about lighting the menorah. Tetzaveh talks about the big day kahuna. And Tetzaveh talks about the miluim, the 7 days of inauguration, when Moshe did the avodah for 7 days to prepare the kohanim to become the kohanim. Okay, so when it says to light the menorah, the pasuk says lahalos ner tamid, lahalos ner tamid, to light the menorah tamid continually. Lahalos means to raise it up. It could have said lahadlik. What does lahadlik mean?
To light.
Lahalos. So Rashi says here, and also other places, this is an important Rashi. Madlik ad shetehe shalheves ole me'eleha. You light until the flame would rise on its own. When you light a candle, you just light it. When you light an oil wick, so it takes a while for the oil to go up the wick, for the fire to catch. So when you light the menorah, you keep the lighting, so you have a candle you're using to light, and you light the wick, and you have to hold it there until you see that the oil has come up the wick and the flame is strong and it lights on its own. Okay. So the menorah is the symbol of Torah. Ner mitzvah v'Torah or. So the Sfarim say...
Hey.
Okay, good. Whatever. So the Sfarim say that the details, we'll get to this later also, of lighting the menorah are supposed to be a mushel for how to be a good teacher. Because you're lighting the menorah's Torah, you're lighting up. So the idea that they say here is that your job as a Rebbe is to just until they can learn well on their own. Until it's madlik shalhevas ole me'eleha. It's not just you accept what the Rebbe says, but the goal is that on their own, the flame can go. You with me? It's a very nice shot. So the goal, that's why you teach skills and you try to teach people to think well on their own also, because the goal is to get the person on their own 2 feet. That's a nice shot. You got it? That's a nice shot. Okay. Then it says to light the menorah tamid every day. What does every day mean? What does tamid mean? All the time. So Rashi quotes, tamid means once a day. The menorah was lit in the evening. Okay? And it lit through the night till the morning. In the morning, they cleaned out the old wicks and put in the new oil in the new wicks, and it was ready to be relit the next evening. That's the majority view. It was lit once at night, and it was cleaned and prepared in the morning. The Rambam says that when they cleaned and prepared it in the morning, they lit it again. But that's the minority view. The majority view is it was only at night. That's what Rashi says. Now, then it says, Me'erev ad boker, that the candle was lit the whole night. Now Rashi quotes from the Gemara, Tein la midasa shetei tolekes me'erev ad boker. Give enough oil that it stays lit the whole night until... And Chazal say that's a half a lug of oil for the long winter nights of Tevet. Tevet are the longest nights of the year. In the winter, the nights are long. So this is interesting. You always give a half a lug, which is enough for the oil of the winter. That means in the summer, when the night is short, night is shorter, you don't make it less oil. You keep the same amount of oil. Got it? That's interesting. You have extra. Look at Rashi. If there's leftover, and bekakum. Okay. So in the summer, there's leftover oil. So what's the message? That you always give the maximum amount of oil. So Moshe Feinstein says an interesting idea. He says, the long winter nights represent the students that are not so strong. They need lots of extra help. Then the summer nights, which are shorter, those are the guys that catch things quickly. You would think, maybe what? If a student is weak and needs a lot of help, give him attention. Teach him everything. He needs another 5 times, 10 times. But a kid who's a strong student, he doesn't need so much attention because he gets it right away. So Moshe writes, no, even the stronger ones need the same full attention because they deserve to reach their potential as well. It's a very important idea. And Rav Moshe says this applies to parenting too. It's a very deep idea. Sometimes when you're a parent, so the kids that have problems, you give them a lot of attention. Let's say a kid's a good kid. He's a good kid with good friends and doing well. So sometimes you give him less attention because he's, you know, working on autopilot. You with me? Moshe says, no. He needs the same amount. Don't relax as a parent. You have to be vigilant with the strong kids as well, that they stay solid. You got it? We discussed this earlier in the year. Rav Moshe says, that's the pshat with who? With Yaakov. That Yaakov relaxed a little bit with his sons. That's why he favored Yosef over the other sons. That's in a famous, important Rashi. Okay, let's go on. Next, the Urim V'Tumim. Guys, you have to, at some point, here. There are books out there. You have to go through the Rashis with the picture books of what they look like. Here. This is, in the old days, this is what I used to use when I was, this is the old school. Pictures of, it goes through the Rashi's what everything at the Big Day Kuna looked like. And then here's the color pictures. You have to go through the Rashi's with the basic pictures so you know what's going on there and what the Big Day Kuna looked like. Is that clear? What the Big Day Kuna looked like. That you know. Correct. But do it. Oh, sit there. Sit there with the Chumash and Rashi. With the picture book, and go through it to get a picture once in your life, and then you review it every year. But once in your life, you get a picture of the Big Day Kehuna. Now, so one of the things the Kohen had the Choshen was the breastplate, and it says in the Chumash that what do you put in the Choshen? The Urim V'Tumim. Es Urim Ves HaTumim. Strange words. The Urim and the Tumim. So, what exactly is the Urim and the Tumim? So Rashi says it was the Ksav Shem HaMeforesh. There was the special name of Hashem that we don't know nowadays. Special pronunciation of Hashem's name. We say Ad Hoshem. That's not the official Shem HaMeforesh.
Is it pronounced how it's like?
I have no idea. Shayanosno betol kifle hachoshen. It was put inside the folded parts of the choshen. Sha'al yado hu meir devarav umitamim es devarav. Through this shema mafarash, the choshen would light up and bring perfection to its words. In other words, uri means lights, tu means perfection. So it would illuminate the issues, and the predictions would always come perfectly true. You see, how would they do it? The letters would light up, right? You had the Choshen had on it the names of the Shevatim. And when you would the Kohen Gadol, they would ask a question, and they would ask a question of the Kohen Gadol, and the letters would light up, giving the answer. You got it? Now, this wasn't around when? During when? When? By Yesheni. Didn't have the Urim V'Tumim. You had the Choshen, because that was one of the Big Day Kahuna. You had to have the Begadim for the Kohen Gadol to do the Avodah. But this Urim V'Tumim, this extra level of Nevuah, this was like perfect Nevuah. Urim V'Tumim is considered perfect Nevuah, because it always got it exactly right. So so there are different Pshatim what the Urim V'Tumim were. According to Rashi, the Urim V'Tumim was the Shem HaMeforesh that went inside the Choshen, which allowed it to provide perfect nevuah. That's Rashi in Perikav Ches Pasuk Lam. Okay. In Perikav Ches Mem Mem Aleph, Rashi reviews for us the Big Day Kahuna, the 8 begadim of the Kohen Gadol, versus the 4 begadim of the regular Kohen Hedyot. Here we go. Next, Perikav Ches Pasuk Aleph, Parichot. So this is the Karbonos of the Miluim, the initiation, the inauguration of the Mishkan and the Kohanim. One second, of the Kohanim. So Rashi brings the symbolism of the various Karbonos. So one Karbon was a par. What does Rashi say? L'chaper al ma'iseh ha'egel shehu par. The reason why a par was brought as part of the Miluim was as kapara for chay to egel, which was, you know, an egel hazav. So what do you see in Rashi? What's Rashi assuming? That when is the Mishkan being built? Well, when is Mishnah being commanded?
After
chay to egel. See, when you go in order of the chumash, chay to egel is in Kitisa. So in the order of the chumash, the Mishkan comes before chay to egel. And that's how some Rishonim, that's how the Ramban learns.
When did they use the Mishkan?
What?
They built the Mishkan.
Right. It didn't end up getting built there, that's correct. But the command to build it, meaning, and so the Mishkan was basically, you call it a luchachila. This is the way Hashem wanted things to be done with the Mishkan, and that's that we discussed in the Ramban, that it was luchachila. That's the Ramban. Rashi says in a few places, one second, that the Torah is out of order, and that Tzibu of the Mishkan came after. Chay to Egel, and the idea is, this is a big topic. What? And so the Mishkan is Kapara. The Mishkan is Kapara for Chay to Egel. So that's why Rashi says here, with Kitaso, that some of the karbanos offered were a Kapara for Chay to Egel. Okay. Next, there's a famous Rashi you have to know to learn Mishnayos. It says that you take the dam, you look at in Perikav Tes Pasak Tezayin, Vizarakta ala Mizbeach Saviv. You sprinkle the blood around the Mizbeach. So what does that mean? You walk around and sprinkle the blood on all the sides? So Rashi quotes from the Mishnayos, you have to know this, Shtayim, Shehain, two that are four. What does that mean? So what does that mean? It means as follows. You take the dam in a kli shares, and you sprinkle the dam against the corners of the, let's say this is the Mizbeach. So you stand at two opposite corners, here and here. If I sprinkle blood at this corner, what happens? Where does the blood go? If I hit blood here, where's it going to go? It goes here, the both sides. These two. If I sprinkle blood at that corner, it goes those two sides. So by sprinkling blood at the two opposite corners, you get for all four sides. So saviv doesn't mean you walk around and put blood on all sides of the mizbeach. It means you get the two corners, which end up being four sides. L'kach karu nimsa hadam nasun ba'arba ruchos. The blood's on all four sides. That's why it's called saviv. So this is the first place where it's mentioned. So whenever the Torah talks about being zorek the mizbeach saviv, it means shtayim shehein arba. Got it? That comes up in a lot of different Mishnayos. You're standing on the ground and you're zorek the dam. Okay, good. Next. Perikav Tes Pasuk Yirches. It says, you offer the karbanos to be a reach nichoach Hashem. A pleasing fragrance. What do you mean a pleasing fragrance? Hashem, the sense of smell. So Rashi says, nachas ruach lefanai. Shemarti v'naseh ritzoni. This is a very important Rashi. It is a source of contentment for me, nachas ruach, that I did and you did what I told you to do. My will was done. In other words, what brings nachas to Hashem? When you keep the mitzvahs and do what He says. It's just that simple. Reach nichoach means that Hashem is in a sense pleased when we do what He tells us to do. You got it? If you want to be nachas to Hashem, do what He says. Reach nichoach, that's what it comes down to. Okay. And then finally, you have here, in Perek Lamed, the end of Perek Kavtes, you have the Karban Tamid. Hashem mentions the Karban Tamid. V'zeh shetaseh al mizbeach kavasim b'nei, you do the Karban Tamid. What's the Karban Tamid? Every morning and every afternoon, you offer the carbon. What happens right after the carbon tamid? V'kidashti es ohal moed, v'shachanti b'toch b'nei Yisrael hizachem lehokim. When does the Shechina come? After you offer the carbon tamid. Right, both the carbon tamid. So what's the message? The message is, Rav Hirsch says, the message is that if you want the Shekhinah in your life, what do you need? What do you need? Day to day, consistent avodas Hashem. That's the Shekhinah. You have a Mishkan, it's very nice. You have Kohanim, it's very nice. There's no Shekhinah yet. You even have the Miluim, there's no Shekhinah yet. When does the Shekhinah come? Right after the day. This is our first whole Shita in life. That life's about the day to day and the challenge of every day doing the right thing. You have the special events for inspiration, right? You have a Shabbaton for inspiration. You hear a Musar Shmooze for inspiration. You hear a Yitzhak Cohen Shlita speak. You get inspired. Yesterday, Rabbi Rechman Shlita spoke very beautiful. He spoke very beautiful. You get inspired. All those inspirations are there so that what? Your day to day is at a high level. You got it? And when you hear these very inspiring stories.
In America.
What?
Day-to-day inspiration.
What do you mean? What?
Day-to-day.
Oh, correct. Okay. So you very what? What did you say? I hear. Yeah, you said to learn Musar. Mr. Barron said the way to get data inspiration. That's when it, just make sure for the record. He said Musar every day. That's exactly what he said. Musar be gematria. It's pretty close to gematria. I'm not going to mention the other word you said. Anyway, yeah, that's what you guys need. That's what everyone needs. And you find those svarim or those recordings that can give you that inspiration. And the day, and you got to do it, and that's the way to bring the Shekhinah into your life. You hear amazing stories, then what do? You're inspired to live a normal life at a high level. So yesterday, when we went to Rav Nevensol's Menachem Avil, so Prisky was on the side, and he was telling stories. So one story he told was really powerful, which is that apparently when the Rebbetzin Leah Shalom was being taken in for like a test when she was very sick, like the last test when she was still conscious, and this test would show whether the cancer had spread or something, I'm not sure, so she would know whether she's going to live or die. So she said at that moment, when a person is at that point in his life, he turns to Hashem. You feel close to Hashem then. You're asking Hashem for help. So she said it's an Eis Ratzon to Daven. So at that moment, when she had that test, she told her kids that on the way in, she davened for those people who haven't been able to have children yet. In other words, when she had an Eis Ratzon of Tefillah, who did she daven for? Who did she daven for? She davened for others. You hear? That's a very powerful idea. Hashem gives you a gift. Hashem gives you something special. You use it for others. That's a total, total ba'alas chesed, that you're thinking about others even at the most challenging moments of your life. You with me? That's an incredibly high madrega. I'm not sure we're at that madrega, but for us the lesson is that in our regular lives, when we're healthy, we should be thinking about others. You with me? And this reminds me of the Rav Avadya story. What's the Rav Avadya story? The three hours, right? Rav Avadya had 3 hours. That story, when he needed an artery opened. In my day, and when I was little, they called it angioplasty. I think now it's
balloon. That's what the balloon
thing. Right, that was the balloon thing.
So a lot of times today, they just harden it, they plaque it, and then it goes up with the blood.
Okay. So that's what he. And so Rav Avadya asked the doctor, is this procedure, is it life-threatening right away? He said, no. Rabbi said, can it wait 3 hours? He said, yes. He left for 3 hours and came back. They did the procedure. He was like 80, and he lived 14, 15 years. So the question is, why did he ask for 3 hours? What's his 3 hours business? So he told his kids, he was in the middle of writing a tshuva, Tamater and Aguna. And when you're an aguna, you need a tshuva signed by a posek that's going to be accepted. And everyone will accept what he says, and then you can get remarried. You know, you have to go to the top. You're going to go to the top. And he said, if I die now during this procedure, and that tshuva's not signed, maybe she won't be able to get remarried. So He went to finish, and it would take me 3 hours to leave and finish Tufa, sign it, and then go back. So that's a very similar idea, that when Rav Avadya was facing death, his primary concern was for others. Then there's a third story. There's a person I quote, Rav Orlovik Shlita, once in a while. I quote him once in a while. So who was his Rebbe? Rebbe was Rav Simcha Wasserman Zatzal. And he writes stories about his Rebbe. He was Rav Chana Wasserman's son. And so Rav Orlovik tells the following story, which is hard to wrap your head around. It's like too, it's kimat unbelievable. Here's the story, and then we'll stop. So when Rav Simcha Wasserman was dying, he was in the hot. So they spoke to the nurses or the doctors in the room, and they described the following. You with me? Watch this. Rav Simcha saw that when he was about to die, the nurses and the doctors were feeling upset. You know, they felt bad. He's about to die. So as he was dying, he was trying to do what? To comfort them. Don't feel so bad. In other words, literally in his last moments, he saw people were not, you with me? That's like kimat superhuman. That he had trained himself, you trained yourself for 80 years, 90 years to help others, then literally in your own dying moments, you're involved in chesed helping others in Avodas Hashem. That's an incredible story.
How did we get to
that? What?
How did we get to this?
How did we get
to this story?
I'm giving, because that's an example of, as you're dying, even in your, you're looking to help others. So my message is, for us, the Madrega is, we're kind of when we're alive, and focus on using our talents to help others. Shuk shlepping and things like that are examples. No, it's like Rebbe Tzinematzel, when she's going in for this test, and she might die, Ace Rutz, and you look to help others. Everyone has kolchos in life, and you've got to use them to help people, to help others. A person's organized. You're an organized guy, and you can do spreadsheets. So you can organize your office's March Madness betting pool. Or you can use your talents to organize the local Tomchei Shabbos of Queens, or Tomchei Shabbos of
London,
Manchester, etc. It's the same talents, organization, money coming in, money coming out, spreadsheets. You have to use your talents in the right way. You got it, guys?
How do you get it from the
okay.
college? How do you get that from the college?
Because I was talking about the day-to-day. Life's not the day-to-day. So when you hear amazingly, incredibly inspiring stories, they're amazing. So take that and say, okay, my day-to-day, what am I going to do today? You with me? You're in the dorm room. And it's your roommate's job to take the garbage out. And he forgot. So you take out the garbage. Are you a winner or a loser?
Winner.
You're a winner, not a loser. You're the winner for doing the idea. You got it, guys? Okay.